All right.
So when we're talking about I don't know if it's the lake of fire, but when we're talking about people, you know, saying that about people burning forever and ever, or you consumed immediately, you know, when you go to hell by fire. Talking to one of my friends, and she was saying that I guess she used the scripture Hebrew 10:26. She says it shows that humans are consumed by fire, but those like the angels or the fallen angels and Satan, they're the ones that burn forever.
That's one of the and I have to put that out there. That's one of those things that people are struggling with, because you hear annihilation, in which you're as if you're no more, and there's verses to back that up, and the Hebrews kind of says that. It gives an example as if you're put in there and you're destroyed. Then there's a verse like in, I think it's in, I'm finding it here, Revelations 14, 11. I'm going to start in verse 9 of Revelations 14. Revelations 14, starting verse 9, says, "A third of the angels followed them and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or his hand, he too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into a cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever.'" Now, some may say, does that mean just the smoke of their torment, or are they tormented forever and ever with that smoke rising forever and ever? So this is that's the verse that shows the other side. So we have both of these. Now we are sure, because, and I think it's in Revelations 21, where it does show that the man of sin, that the devil, and that the false prophet are all going to be thrown into this, and they're going to burn forever and ever. And of course, as we've seen in Matthew, where it says it was made for them to burn forever and ever. So that argument has always been out there, and people now just chose a side. And unfortunately, the unfortunate side is some people say that the part of being tormented forever and ever is less appealing than just going away. I've heard people say, "Well, if I'm just going to burn up, I'm fine," and that's what they'll say. I can say we don't have a definite answer. We know it's horrible, whatever is going to happen, and you don't want to be that. And I see where you can get both sides of it on there. But the one thing I do want to make clear is sometimes where it says destruction, and because, like when you said, was it Hebrews 10, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it's 10:26. Yeah, 10:26.
Okay, so Hebrews 10, 26. I want to grab that word. Where it says, "If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire that will consume the enemies of God." And that word consume is one in that one, and there's another word where it talks about destruction, where those of who basically sin will be destroyed. You'll hear that also. So people use both of these, and both of those in translation, consuming can mean overtake you over, or destroy can mean where you're basically there's no more hope. It doesn't necessarily, those words can be used as it's totally done away with, or it can mean there's no hope. So even in the consuming means you're done away with. So when they may, somebody may even argue the fact of consuming could mean you're taken away and that's it. That's your last chance. And now you're going to be in torment forever and ever. Or it could mean annihilation, in which you're disappear out there. So that's been an argument that's been out there. It's a hard one out there. The Bible seems to lean a little bit more towards torment, but people have been grasping it. It doesn't say that definitively, so they are going to take this other side of nope. I think it means you're burn up and then you're gone away.
So bottom line is it just depends on where you choose to be. You want to burn or not, don't make no difference.
Yes, that's true. And then when we read the thing of Lazarus and the rich man, we know there is some torment. So if you do it, it doesn't happen immediately as we said, because he was in torment and asking for water. And then he's, you know, for him to have that time to talk, that was not immediate. So that even gives reference to it. So we tell people not to play with that, but what some have done, some have used it as their reasoning for saying, "Oh, well, if I go to hell, I'm not going to be like I exist, so it's no big deal." And it's a foolish thing. And I think it's another thing that sets people, that Satan sets people up with.
Question was, I think it was John MacArthur, and he was preaching, and he said this, and I was like, I don't know if this is true or not. He said, Jeremiah 11:11 is a prophecy to America.
Let's go to that first, and then we'll see. Jeremiah 11:11. And it said, Jeremiah 11, therefore, this is what the Lord says, I will bring on them a disaster they cannot escape. Although they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. The towns of Judah and the people of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods. I mean, you see where I'm going with this? Now, the key I'm putting here is these, especially in Jeremiah, they give specific things that are happening. You got a lot of American ministers today that tend to like to take America and put it in the place of when they're talking about Israel or Judah. And as if we are the new Israel, even though the Bible hasn't said that. Not only are we not close to new Israel, we fit more of Sodom and Gomorrah. Be careful of that, because that's something that we, America, how America fits in there is how the rest of the world fits in there. But I think we, in our, who we are, think we, you know, we give ourselves more credit than what we think, you know what I mean? And as you read these, it's talking about the major ones that he created, his people and what they're going through. Now, as you go through Jeremiah and Isaiah, they actually give certain groups and what's going to happen to certain groups, but this is not talking about United States of America.
Well, is that, I guess, like in the same thing as, I guess, the second Chronicles 7:14, if my people weren't talking to Israel?
Yep. Because remember, there's only two times where he refers to his people, only two times in the Bible. When he's talking about Israel or when he's talking about Christians. Nowhere else in the Bible does he call a group my people. What we started doing is countries started saying, oh, that's us. And they would say stuff like, well, look at how we did. Now, one of the biggest things that was been done wrong that has been misleading people is they'll say, look at all the prosperity we have and look how we've grown. What you don't realize is some of the most prosperous countries have been the most evil countries. Egypt, Babylon, Persia, the Medes, Rome, these have been, and in history, these are the most destructive and crazy ones. So that's not one of the proofs that the Bible gives. And just going to the Bible, the only country, like I said, was Israel, and he chose them as a group, just as a group, but the rest was as Christians. And First Peter, where it says, you are a chosen people, a holy nation to God. That's it. You know, so I think this, and the danger of it is you have many Americans who think because they're American, they're going to heaven, and we're really setting them up.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Other questions?
I have a question on book, Disputable Matters.
Yes. Romans okay. 14.
So, conversation about. Person said they're part of a New Testament church.
Gotcha.
And as such, New Testament churches, they didn't say shouldn't have music because they said people in the Bible sang. I mean, right. in Acts, they sang.
Yep.
But you shouldn't have instruments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Disputable matter, right? I didn't argue about it.
Here's the problem. First of all, for them to call themselves a New Testament church, they missed the whole thing anyway. I mean, that's where they were thrown off anyway. You can't be a new, you're a Christian or you're not. And Christianity includes the Old Testament with the New Testament in the way that God puts it. This is one, once again, another concept where somebody took the license. And you're right. I know groups like this that all of a sudden, and then they start making up self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. In there, you know what I mean? Now, the New Testament does readjust us in a spiritual way of how we're supposed to see things, but the Old Testament, it keeps referencing back to the Old Testament. So how do they deal with that? You know, when they go to 1 Corinthians 10 and it refers back to it, when we see all that Jesus refers back to it, as we were just reading in Hebrews, it refers back to it. There's many things that refer back to it. So that's kind of like nonsense, because then you go to the Old Testament many times goes over and over again about instruments, about clapping your hands, about dancing, about singing. It's just, I think, of somebody that looked at something and in their form of righteousness, they took it. Now, like you're saying, is that a disputable matter? Yes, it is. Because with the music part, now we're supposed to praise God in song. Well, let me back up. I don't know if I would call that disputable, because as we're going to see, and I'll do an order of my steps real soon on it, God willing. Him saying using the instruments is part of what he's saying. So I don't know if it becomes disputable when he tells us to do it. Now, will it get us into heaven or not is where I think what makes it disputable or not. Because it's the same thing where he called the one who had weak faith for only eating vegetables and the one who had a stronger faith for eating everything. You know what I mean? But he's basically saying it's not about food. It's going to get you in heaven or hell. I don't think instruments will either. So if that's what they choose not to do, but they still praise him, I do think it does fall into disputable.
Yeah, because that was my, that's what I was thought. I was like, well, but that's not the whole Bible calling yourself a New Testament church.
Right.
But I mean, I wasn't arguing. I was just saying, I said, that's interesting. That's all. That's because they were asking whether we did music in church. And I said, oh, yeah, we do music and we sing. And,
right.
You know, and we were, you know, I said, you know, before COVID, we were, you know, we had worship and then we went into. And they said, well, were you using instruments? Because you shouldn't have been using instruments. And that threw me off. And I was like, well, I had never heard that before.
Yeah, I'd heard of it, too. I mean, I heard of it for a couple of years. Now, the question I never got to ask for them is, where in the New Testament did it say not to use instruments?
I don't know.
I never got that. I didn't understand that either which way. So I don't know. I don't know. And hymns, you know, and especially in the verse when it says when we speak to each other with hymns, spiritual songs, with all of those used instruments.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know. And it's one of those concepts. If you ask them, can you ask them that? I mean, now if it doesn't get, yeah, just say, hey, we're in the New Testament. So what in the New Testament tells you not to use instruments specifically?
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Yeah. I'm just curious. Yeah. Please do.
We'll do.
Okay. I'm curious, but it's wrong, but I'm curious on what they're going. All right. Other questions.
I was going to say that it reminded me, she said the New Testament church. Mm-hmm. When I was talking about a church I had visited and they were like the Book of Acts, and you were saying, well, are they doing what the Book of Acts said? Are they sharing, you know, all their resources? I was wondering, they're called the New Testament church, if they're doing the same thing in the Book of Acts.
And that's what I'm saying. We don't necessarily even have to do what the Book of Acts does. But if you look at the Book of Acts, it shows a mindset that we are supposed to have, in which I think sometimes we miss that because using America again, because we made the term socialism such a bad word, that when you look at Book of Acts, that's exactly what that is. Everybody threw their money in. I don't care if you were a doctor. I don't care if you were a janitor. You threw your money in and people only went and got the money as used. Now, with that said, them calling themselves New Testament church, what makes it wrong is they're canceling out a whole part of the whole entire package. You know what I mean? We're a Christian church, and that includes the Old and the New Testament, and you have to see how that goes together. Mm-hmm. So following what they're saying in Acts, if somebody was doing that and understood what they were doing, that mindset is what we're supposed to have, like they had in Acts, believe it or not. But we don't. We still have this hierarchical, or whatever you call it, I'm saying it wrong, but a mindset in which we like to look down on people. And God hates that. He's always said that haughtiness, that I deserve more, that entitlement. And that's what, you know, that's what's really hurting us. In fact, that's what one of the flaws of Sodom and Gomorrah. If we go back into Ezekiel, I think it's 49, you know, where it said, one, it's not only were they perverse and the wrong things, they looked down on people, they were overfed. They were, you know, we go through this thing where we allow our having as if I deserve it. A lot of these billionaires, in fact, a lot of the thousandaires, it's not that I did more, that I deserve more than this other person I work for. You get where I'm coming from? But we allow society to place a value on it while God is saying if they were working hard, they should have got paid. And it's just not the way it is. So, I mean, you know, that concept, I understand what they're doing, how they're doing it. I'm curious how that works, too.
Okay.
It's very interesting. Other questions? All right. Praise God. Hopefully you've been blessed by the lesson. Thank you for your questions. And once again, like I said, 7 o'clock on Friday, either at the church itself or online, we'll be having our end of the year service. This is our last Bible study of the year. I want to praise God for bringing us through this year and hopefully continue through next year, and we can be a blessing and keep growing, but just realizing time is short and what's going on inside of saving and ministering and being a blessing to others. So that's what we're going to keep hoping and praying for. So let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, first of all, we thank you so much, dear God, for your loving kindness. And thank you for allowing us to have the technology and the way that we can still get together in a safe manner, but that we still can come together. But help us as we come together, even physically, dear Lord, that we're staying in a safe manner, but that we're still coming together. How important that is. Help us to maintain the truth and using your word to supply the truth. We thank you so much, dear God, and for us to be able to have this opportunity to come together and ask questions. We do thank you for the freedom that does exist, but help us, dear God, to see the grace that you have given us and the mercy that you've given us, how important that is in our walk and everything that we do, dear God. As we leave out of here today, let us be a blessing to others. Let us really think about what we got to do in this upcoming year, dear God, in order to grow more in you, grow more as a body, and grow more to bring others to you, dear Lord. Help us to get rid of those things that are hindering, anything that's causing a stumbling block, and let us walk in such a way, dear God, that when we come together as a body, it ministers to the world. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And we thank you so much, dear God, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say, amen.
Amen.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Night.